Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. Remember by Abraham Goldar and the name of Zichu Sota, Daf Chav Ches, the fifth parak, Kishem Shahamayim. The Zichu Masechus Sota program has been generously sponsored as a schus for Chazakas Torah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, in the Mishnah Rebbe Kiva taught, Hamayim Bodkin Oso, the waters test him, which the Gemara here explains to mean the suspected adulterer will also die. The Gemara proves that Rebbe Kiva's drasha is from the extra vav in the word uvahu, and the water shall enter, and explains what he learns from all three instances of the word uvahu and their extra vavs. Rebbe, who does not darshan the extra vavs, provides another source that the waters test the adulterer. Let's pose betamon pil yarech, to cause the stomach to distend and thigh to fall. This refers to the adulterer's stomach and thigh. It cannot refer to hers because that's mentioned later. Rabbi explains that this pasuk teaches that the kohen informs her of the order of her punishment, which is the reverse of the apparent order in the pasukim, so no one should discredit the effectiveness of the water. Point number two is Tanya writes, "Ma tamal gom Rabbi nitma'a v'hi lo nitma'a." What does the pasuk teach by saying, "and she had become defiled," and "she had not become defiled"? They have opposite implications, whether she's known to have been defiled or known to have not been defiled, and the pasuk falls by requiring the test of the waters. Nitma'a lama shoisa. If she was known to be defiled, why did she drink? If it's known that she was not defiled, why does he cause her to drink? Either way, the test should not be required. Rather, her guilt or innocence must be unknown. The pasuk tells you that the case of doubt is forbidden, meaning she's forbidden to her husband until drinking the waters. Tosos adds that the Torah is teaching that she's definitely forbidden to her husband during the time of doubt, even if in truth she's innocent. And pointing with you, the Braisa continues, Mikana to Dano Sheretz. From here you can compare it to Sheretz regarding Tuma. If regarding Sota, who does not become forbidden to her husband, if she had illicit relations against her will or through error, where she thought it was her husband, Asib Basafa Kavada, yet the Torah treated a case of doubtful defilement like definite defilement, then Sheretz, which is Metame through contact regardless of intent, certainly cases of doubtful Tuma should be treated as definite Tuma. Limitations of this principle are also derived from Sota. Masota Rishusi Yachi, just as Sota is prohibited, only if she's secluded in a private domain. Av Sheretz Rishusi Yachi, so too the law of doubtful Tuma from a Sheretz is only in a private domain. Masota Davisheshbo Dasli Shael, and just as the case of Sota is something with the intelligence to be asked if she became defiled, Av Sheretz Davisheshbo Dasli Shael, so too the law of doubtful Tuma from Sheretz is only when the potential recipient of Tuma is something with the intelligence to be asked if it became Tame. But if the doubtful contact with Tuma occurred in a Rishusa Rabin, or if it occurred to something lacking intelligence, the doubtful Tuma is ruled Tahor. So once again, the 3 points are number one. In the Mishnah, Rebbe Kiva taught, Hamayim Bodkin Oso, the waters test him, which the Gemara here explains to mean the suspected adulterer will also die. The Gemara proves that Rebbe Kiva's drasha is from the extra vav in the word uvahu, and the water shall enter, and explains what he learns from all three instances of the word uvahu and their extra vavs. Rebbe, who does not darshan the extra vavs, provides another source that the waters test the adulterer. Let's pose betamon pil yarech, to cause the stomach to distend and thigh to fall. This refers to the adulterer's stomach and thigh. It cannot refer to hers because that's mentioned later. Rabbi explains that this pasuk teaches that the kohen informs her of the order of her punishment, which is the reverse of the apparent order in the pasukim, so no one should discredit the effectiveness of the water. Point number two is Tanya writes, "Ma tamal gom Rabbi nitma'a v'hi lo nitma'a." What does the pasuk teach by saying, "and she had become defiled," and "she had not become defiled"? They have opposite implications, whether she's known to have been defiled or known to have not been defiled, and the pasuk falls by requiring the test of the waters. Nitma'a lama shoisa. If she was known to be defiled, why did she drink? If it's known that she was not defiled, why does he cause her to drink? Either way, the test should not be required. Rather, her guilt or innocence must be unknown. The pasuk tells you that the case of doubt is forbidden, meaning she's forbidden to her husband until drinking the waters. Tosos adds that the Torah is teaching that she's definitely forbidden to her husband during the time of doubt, even if in truth she's innocent. And pointing with you, the Braisa continues, Mikana to Dano Sheretz. From here you can compare it to Sheretz regarding Tuma. If regarding Sota, who does not become forbidden to her husband, if she had illicit relations against her will or through error, where she thought it was her husband, Asib Basafa Kavada, yet the Torah treated a case of doubtful defilement like definite defilement, then Sheretz, which is Metame through contact regardless of intent, certainly cases of doubtful Tuma should be treated as definite Tuma. Limitations of this principle are also derived from Sota. Masota Rishusi Yachi, just as Sota is prohibited, only if she's secluded in a private domain. Av Sheretz Rishusi Yachi, so too the law of doubtful Tuma from a Sheretz is only in a private domain. Masota Davisheshbo Dasli Shael, and just as the case of Sota is something with the intelligence to be asked if she became defiled, So too, the law of doubtful tumah from sheretz is only when the potential recipient of tumah is something with the intelligence to be asked if it became tameh. But if the doubtful contact with tumah occurred in a reshus harabim, or if it occurred to something lacking intelligence, the doubtful tumah is ruled tahor. All right, so now we get our siman daf chaf ches, and our standard siman is a strong man. Koach, a strong man. So here goes. When the strong man adulterer working out in the gym began to swell and then exploded, the husband who had been forbidden to his wife because of a safek came in to see because he heard a commotion and found a dead sheretz with a picture of his sota wife inside of Rishus Yachid in its mouth. Once again, it's a commotion. When the strong man adulterer, strong man, that must be daf chav ches, koach. When the strong man adulterer working at the gym began to swell and then exploded, which reminds us we have a Malkos from Akivan Rebbe about the source that the sota waters also test the adulterer. So when the strong man adulterer working out in the gym began to swell and then exploded, the husband who had been forbidden to his wife because of a suffix came into see because he heard a commotion, which reminds us that the source that a sota is forbidden to her husband out of doubt comes from phrases in the pasuk v'hi nitma v'hi lo nitma, and she had become defiled and she had not become defiled, which have opposite implications. So when the strong man adulterer working out in the gym began to swell and then exploded, the husband who had been forbidden to his wife because of a suffix came into see because he heard a commotion. Motion, and found a dead sheretz with a picture of a sota wife inside of Rishus Yachid in its mouth. Which reminds us the laws of Safek Tumah are derived from a sota, one of the principles being Masota Rishus Yachid, just as a sota is prohibited only if she's secluded in Rishus Yachid, Av Sheretz Rishus Yachid, so too the law of doubtful Tumah from Sheretz is only in a Rishus Yachid. So once again, when the strong man adulterer working out in the gym began to swell and then exploded, the husband who had been forbidden to his wife because of a suffix came in to see because he heard a commotion and found a dead sheretz with a picture of a sota wife inside of Rishus Yachid in its mouth. All right, so now it's time for four blot back chazara. Daf chaf talad. So the simmer daf chaf talad is a pitcher, a kud. So here goes. The group of women ineligible for the fit to be married sota pitcher, that must be more daf chaf talad, kud. The group of women ineligible for the fit to be married sota pitcher, which reminds us, the Gemara brings Malchokas about if certain women are considered fit to be married regarding their eligibility to drink the sota waters. Muberes chavero, manikas chavero, the pregnant former wife of his friend and the nursing former wife of his friend. Ilanis, zakena, ushein, rui, leilid. An Ilanis, an old woman, and a woman who cannot give birth. So the group of women ineligible for the fit to be married sota pitcher, who first smirked when the pitchers were knocked over by an arusa and shomeres yavam, arguing over which one of them would be excluded from sota first, which reminds us, the Gemara brings Malchokas Rabbi Yosan and Rabbi Yoshio whether a shomeres yavam drinks from the mesota. The Gemara notes they also argue about which case the pasuk is first excluding. Rabbi Yonason first excludes the shomeres yavam, because regarding an arusa, it's the arusa's own act of kedushin that established the bond, as opposed to the yavam's brother, and they stoned for adultery because of him. Rabbi Yoshia first excludes an arusa because a shomer's yavam can be acquired with any relations, even not for the purpose of marriage, whereas an arusa must be acquired through chuppah. So the group of women ineligible for the fit to be married sota pitcher, who first smirked when the pitchers were knocked over by an arusa and shomer's yavam, arguing over which one of them would be excluded from sota first, got queasy when the arusa was accused of having relations with her arus in her father's house prior becoming a sota, which reminds us. The Gemara asks why a pasuk is needed to exclude an arusa and shomer's yavam from the law of sota, because there's a principle taught by a braisa, the pasuk states, mi boladai isheich, other than your husband, which teaches mishikad meshchivas bal leboel. The sota only applies when the husband's relations with her preceded the adulterer's, v'lo shikad meshchivas boel lebal, and not when the adulterer's relations preceded the husband's. An arusa has not yet had relations with her husband, so how could she possibly be a valid sota? Rami Bar Chama answers, kagon shaba'al Leha Arus Babes Aviyah, in a case where the Arus had relations with her at her father's home, which do not affect Nisuan. Daf Chafei, so the Simmer Daf Chafei is a silver wedding anniversary. So here goes. It was an awkward moment at the red themed silver anniversary party. Silver anniversary? That must be more Daf Chafei. It was an awkward moment at the red-themed silver anniversary party, when after the husband warned his wife she would lose her ksuba if she was an Oberes Aldas, which reminds us, the Gemara inquires, an Oberes Aldas, a woman who transgresses the code of Jewish conduct, meaning she goes to public places with her hair uncovered, Sricha Yisrael Hapsida Ksuba So Eina Sricha, does she require a warning to forfeit a ksuba, or did she not require a warning? The Gemara ultimately comes to prove that a warning is required before forfeiting a ksuba for an Oberes Aldas. So it was an awkward moment at the red-themed silver anniversary party, when after the husband warned his wife she would lose her ksuba if she was an Olveris Aldas, and then publicly was Mocho's recent kinui, which reminds us. The Gemara brings up Braisa that proves that a husband may cancel his kinui. Rav Ach and Ravina argued if the husband is only able to cancel the warning before she concludes herself, but not afterwards, when she's already forbidden, or if she can do so even afterwards. So it was an awkward moment at the red-themed silver anniversary party, when after the husband warned his wife that she would lose her ksuba if she was an Olveris Aldas, and then publicly was Mocho's recent kinui, his wife responded indignantly and revealed that she was an Islandese and ineligible to drink the Sota waters anyway, which reminds us that regarding an Islandese, everyone agrees that she neither drinks nor collects her ksuba, because the pasuk says, "V'nikas v'nizra zera," then she'll be innocent and bear seed children, teaching that only Misha Darko Hazria, one whose way is to bear seed, is eligible for drinking, Yatzazo she'in Darko Hazria, excluding this Islandese whose way is not to bear children from birth, as opposed to the elderly woman or a barren woman who lost the ability to bear children through injury. Dav Chavav, so the Siman Dav Chavav is a military coup. So here goes. The tall, fair-skinned soldiers in red uniforms. Soldiers? That must be more on Daf Chavav, military coup. The tall, fair-skinned soldiers in red uniforms, children of an exonerated Sota, which reminds us, Rav Akiva says that the Pasuk in Nikas of Nizra Zera, she shall be proven innocent and bear seed, teaches that if she was barren, she'll be remembered and bear a child. Rav Shmuel objected that if so, all barren women will intentionally make themselves Sotas in order to reap the benefits of this bracha, and a modest woman who doesn't engage in immoral behavior will not. Rather, the pasuk teaches more minor blessings, which would not be an incentive to become a sota. She might see a lettuce, but sorry, you lettuce bereva. That if she formerly gave birth with pain, she'll give birth with ease. Nekevos, you lettuce zacharim. If she had females, she will bear males. Ksarim, you lettuce aruchim. If she had short children, she'll bear tall ones. Shachorim, you lettuce levanim. And if she had swarthy children, she'll bear fair ones. So the tall, fair-skinned soldiers in red uniforms, children of an exonerated sota, who were on a mission to find the adulterer their mother had been warned against, which reminds us, Rav Nuna said, over to regarding an idolater, one can warn his wife not to be secluded with him, and he disqualifies a woman from eating truma if he has relations with her. So the tall, fair-skinned soldiers in red uniforms, children of an exonerated sota, who were on a mission to find the idolater their mother had been warned against, found him hiding behind her dog, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that the husband cannot warn against one who is not a man. After rejecting the first two interpretations, the Gemara concludes, L'mut behema de'en znus mebehema. It means to exclude an animal because there is no harlotry regarding relations with an animal, meaning they're not considered relations despite incurring the death penalty. Our Mishnah is teaching that warning against seclusion with an animal would not render her a sota. Daf Chav Zayin, so the Zimmer Daf Chav Zayin is a kazoo. So here goes. The red kazoo band, kazoo, that must be one daf. Chav Zayin. The red kazoo band playing at the chasna of a man and the daughter of a woman of ill repute, which reminds us, it's a malchokas whether it's better, if one has no choice, to marry a duma, a woman of ill repute, or a bas duma, the daughter of a woman of ill repute. The woman of ill repute comes from a tipa kashera, while the daughter may not, while the daughter has a cheskas kashrus, which the mother does not have. The halacha according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says it's better to marry the bas duma, based on a braisa, ish mezana b'nei ha-kasherin. A woman is mezana, has illicit relations. Her children are nonetheless fit for marriage to regular Jews because rov be'ilos achra abal. Most relations are with the husband, so the children are presumed to be his. So the red kazoo band playing at the chasna of a man and the daughter of a woman of ill repute, while the blind, crippled, and mute so to exempt Babi and Zaidi, clapped along, which reminds us, it was taught in Braisa, when the pasuk says, Asher tista isha takas isha, when a woman shall stray while under a husband, the juxtaposition teaches to compare a man to a woman and a woman to a man in the laws of Sota. Therefore, they both cannot be blind, lame, or mute. So the red kazoo band playing at the chasna of a man and the daughter of a woman of ill repute, while the blind, crippled, and mute so to exempt Babi and Zaidi, clapped along, did not cheer up the miserable adulterer who was prohibited to the Sota even after her husband's death, which reminds us, different sources are brought for how we know Kashem Sha'asur Labal Kachasur Laboel. Just as she is prohibited to the husband, so too she is prohibited to the adulterer through the adultery even after her husband's death or divorce. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which step do you learn that one can make his wife a sota by warning her not to be with an idolater? That's on Dav. Chavav. Good number 2. Which step do you learn that one who studied Torah and Mishnah but did not serve Talmud Chachamim to understand the reasons for the Mishnah is called an Ama Aretz or a boor? That's on Dav. Chavbeis. Good number 3. Which step do you learn an islandist neither drinks nor collects her ksuba? That's on Dav. Chafhei. Good number 4. Which daf did Malchus regarding the source that the sota waters also test the adulterer? That's on daf. Chavchas. Good number five. Which daf did Malchus? Whether it's better to marry if one has no choice, a duma, a woman of ill repute, or her daughter? That's on daf. Chavzayin. Good number six. Which of the source that a sota is forbidden to her husband out of doubt? That's on daf. Chavches. Good number seven. Which daf we have a question whether an overus al das requires a warning in order for her to forfeit her ksuba? That's on daf. Chavhe. Good number eight. Which daf the laws of safek tuma are derived from a sota? That's on daf. Chavches. Good number nine. Which daf we have a question whether a husband can be mochel as kinui, and if so, can he do so even after the wife is secluded? That's on daf. Chavhe. Good. And number ten. Which daf with both the sota and her husband may not be blind, lame, or mute? That's on daf. Chav Zayin. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Ram Goldham Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.